Hello, this is Spencer Main. You are listening to my dad on the Handgun World Podcast.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And by the way, this intro music and the outro music is by Ozark Revival. It's called You Ain't Getting My Guns. Many of you have been asking me what it is, so there you go, OzarkRevival.com, OzarkRevival.com, and it's called You Ain't Getting My Guns. This episode, by the way, is being released on December 1st, 2018. And can you believe we've already started December? Wow. This year has gone by so quickly. It's just amazing. Anyway, I have a special guest, Alex Horseman from Ammo.com. As most of you know, Ammo.com is one of my new sponsors. Alex and I got into some pretty good information in this discussion. It's not just an infomercial for ammo.com. We got into some real good information that I'm proud to bring to you that I think you're going to like. And I just want to say the special link for my show is ammo.com/handgunworld. We spend a lot of time talking about some of the promotions. Again, most of the interview is good, useful information, but just use my landing page, please, ammo.com/handgunworld. That's one word, handgunworld. As you know, I will get some benefit from that. I also would like to mention that after this interview, I've also got some more preparedness information that I want to talk about, and also another update on my one-year test of striker-fired and double-action, single-action guns to try to figure out what's going to be the best carry gun for me. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into my discussion with Alex from Ammo.com. My special guest for this episode is Alex Horseman from Ammo.com. Welcome to the Handgun World Podcast, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I'm excited.
You're welcome. No problem. I want all the listeners to know, if they haven't figured it out already, Ammo.com is one of my sponsors, and Alex graciously offered his time not only to talk about his company, we are going to do that, but also I gave him a list of questions to think about. So I got some ammunition to, questions that I'll run by you. Is that okay?
That sounds good to me.
Good. First of all, tell everybody about Ammo.com, you, your position, everything like that.
Okay, so Ammo.com, pretty simplistic. It's an online ammunition retailer. I am the marketing manager for them. And we, kind of a brief history, if you will, we got started on the foundation of freedom and liberties. So I would say our team is really gung-ho about the Constitution amendments, obviously the Second Amendment being a big one for us. But our goal really is to arm our customers physically and then philosophically as well. So we're constantly producing these long-form content articles to kind of make people question laws in place, society, and really make them consider what's happening in the world.
And that's great. Where do you publish those articles?
So that's at ammo.com/articles.
Ammo.com/articles.
Yes, sir.
I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode because people are used to seeing my link. Like I always put in there ammo.com/handgunworld. So yep. This time it's ammo.com/articles.
Mm-hmm.
And your articles are kind of like getting people to think critically about what's happening with their rights.
Yeah. So we just my most favorite one that the copy team just wrote was about what asymmetrical and fourth generation warfare is going to look like. The Survival blog, which is a pretty big site, actually just shared it. And so it's kind of, it makes you question like a big, there's always somebody to say, there's no way an armed militia would be able to take on the U.S. government. So the Second Amendment, like, the whole premise behind it is ridiculous. And we kind of dive deep into that and say, you know, there's an armed militia in the Appalachians and the Idaho Panhandle, and we just have different opinions on the matter. And so it's a thought-provoking, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm looking at that page right now, ambo.com/articles.
Yep.
And it's one of those that are listed there?
Yes, it is. It's how asymmetrical and fourth generation warfare.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm looking through all of this.
Yeah, we have quite a bit of articles discussing gun control, laws that have been in place, laws that people are trying to happen. Mm-hmm. President Obama, how he was the greatest gun salesman in America.
That's a
fan favorite. And so you can see we discussed the TSA, gun control, the Freedom of Information Act, which is pretty much your privacy online.
Mm-hmm.
And then gun ownership. If you scroll down, we have preparedness articles, as well as, you know, guides for parents on, you know, how to keep their kids protected, how to teach your kid hunting safely, and things along those lines.
Wow, what a resource. I didn't even realize this was there. I'm glad I brought you on for this interview. And I'm glad you got so much preparedness stuff out there. Most people know I used to do today's Survival Show podcast. Mm-hmm. And doing two podcasts just got too much for me. And but I still have all those episodes up, and this kind of fits right into that. This is kind of – there are a lot of good articles I can just see by the title here, A Guide mm-hmm. to Self-Sufficient Living. I find that most people who are gun enthusiasts also are at least common sense preparedness minded, you know, no tinfoil hat kind of stuff.
Yeah, I went to – so Rick Austin and Jane Austin put on a prepper camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that, and a lot of the people either like knew me or the website, and they were integrated between the both, like you said.
Yeah, that's true. And Alex, you know, you talk about your Freedom Fighter program. That was one of the reasons why I was very interested in bringing you on as a sponsor, because every time somebody makes a purchase at ammo.com, you're donating some money, aren't you?
Yep, we donate 1% of every sale to a pro-freedom organization, the biggest one being the NRA, but we have about 15 organizations on that. You can go to our donations page, that's ammo.com/donations, and you can see all the organizations that we donate to. Some other big ones are Homes for Our Troops and Soldiers Angels, and then kind of our liberty-fighting organization is Institute for Justice.
Yeah, I like, you know, there's a lot of organizations on here. The Armed Citizens Educational Foundation. Yep. I'm a member of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, and they're awesome.
Yep.
I think you've also got, this is really important, especially given current events recently, Jews for the Preservation of Firearm
yep.
Ownership.
Yep.
Yeah, you got the Second Amendment. Aha, the Texas State Rifle Association. That's important to me.
Oh, yeah.
So 1%. So if somebody spends $500 in ammo,
mm-hmm.
1% of that, $5, is going into a Freedom Fighter support.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you choose, once you check out, you choose which of these organizations we want to put that money to.
That was going to be my next question. You answered
it. Yep.
Thank you.
It's just a little checkbox at the end of it.
Okay. And by the way, when you make a purchase, Handgun World, all one word. No, there's not a coupon code for you, is there, for your site?
No, you have a
I have a special page. That's right.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, ammo.com/handgunworld. I was thinking of the wrong thing there. If you go to my landing page, most people know that, but I'm saying it again. That's going to give you a $20 discount off of any order of $200 or more.
Correct.
And so let's say they place a $200 order. They're getting $20 off, and $2 is going to a Freedom Fighter group.
Yes, sir.
You've also got good prices. Again, we're going to get into some good material that's not advertising, but I do want to talk about this. You got some good prices right now on some 9mm ammo, I see, practice ammo.
Yeah, and that's it's funny you bring that up because that's pretty much my go-to Blazer Brass 9mm.
I love that. Yes, I love Blazer Brass. You got Blazer Brass on your site now, $172.50 for 1,000 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. It goes on. Blazer Brass goes on sale quite frequently.
And for the people that do like the steel case stuff, you got tool ammo, $149. You got Wolf for $72 for 500. Wow, those are some pretty good prices.
Mm-hmm. We stay competitive. I'd like to think.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Blazer Brass. For practice ammo, you got some pretty good selection of concealed carry duty ammo also.
Yep, yep. My favorite is the Spear Gold Dot.
Uh-huh.
It's got the Plus P 124 grain. That's what I usually put if I'm carrying.
So I was going to ask you, so your carry ammo is Spear 124 grain Plus P?
Yes, sir.
Okay, why? Why do you like that round?
I would say it's primarily because it's how I grew up. So my neighbor used to shoot competitively, and he's kind of the one who taught me everything about guns, ammunition, and all that good stuff. And it was kind of ingrained in me. That's what he shot. And then my neighbor across the street was a LEO in Detroit, and he swears by it as well. So just what I've been carrying since I was 19.
Yeah, law enforcement, they've been carrying Spear for a long time. A lot of them, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sure some listeners will correct me, but a lot of LEOs are carrying, I believe, federal HST ammo as well. I really like the ballistics of both of those. I like the Spear Gold Dot and the federal HSTs.
Mm-hmm.
What's your practice ammo?
Blazer Brass, 9mm.
That's right. You answered that before, yeah.
Yep, 115 grain. A little bit lighter, but shoots well with my gun that I practice with.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is 9mm your most popular selling caliber?
So, since I work on the marketing side, I don't know the inventory, but I'm going to, as far as my knowledge, yes. Because I know I can track the pages with the most visits. And if it's not the bulk ammo page, it's the 9mm page. So by far the most popular handgun handgun caliber out there. And so I believe it is ours.
You know what's interesting? I recently shot IDPA last Saturday. It'll be a couple of weeks ago by the time this podcast releases. Anyway, there were 47 shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, I took a quick look, because I could tell by which divisions they were shooting in.
Mm-hmm.
Only two of the 47 shooters were shooting a 45 ACP.
Everybody else was 9mm?
9 or 40.
Okay.
There might have been some 357 SIG in there a little bit, but the division CDP, Custom Defensive Pistol, which is only for 45 caliber pistols, there were two people. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Now, what do you shoot in competition?
9mm.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of a one-year test. I'm trying to figure out which gun I'm going to carry. I spent 2.5 months shooting a 9mm M&P 2.0. Now I'm back to my Glock 19 for another couple months. Of course, everybody knows that's a 9mm, and I'll be picking another 9mm gun, maybe a SIG 320 or a Beretta APX or something like that, 9mm, and I'll probably start testing that one around February or March, and then maybe I might even put one more in there, a double action, single action, but that'll be 9mm as well.
Have I swayed you to testing out the Grand Power that I've told you about?
I'm thinking about it. Talk about the Grand Power, because that was – I'm thinking about it, Alex. Tell people about what you know about the Grand Power.
So, obviously, I'm not a spokesman for him, but it's kind of – that same neighbor, when he was teaching me how to shoot, I went through probably 10 handguns, and it was between the Glock 19 – Gen 3 and the Grand Power. And so it's made in Slovakia. And I think, as far as my hand size, it's just ergonomically amazing. Mm-hmm. I have the K100. It's a 9mm and then it has the X trim. So the Grand Power, their Excalibur gun is kind of like their competition. If I was to shoot competition, I would use the Excalibur. But I just got the K100 for my carry. But you can put the X trim for the slide on the K100.
What's the X trim? What is that?
So it's got a scallop slide.
Okay.
So, and then the gun also has a rotating barrel, so it helps with the recoil for me. The only bad thing I've found about that scallop slide is it can get dirty fairly easily, and you just have to clean it a little bit more.
Yeah. So the Grand Power, I'm looking at their website right now. You're using the K100, right?
Yep. And then there should be an option to get the X trim on it.
Yeah, let's see. So what do you like most about it? I mean, it fits your hand well, that you said that.
Yep. So I'd be curious to see if I get any backlash for this. You'll have to let me know. But
it's okay. I'm used to it.
Some people have dubbed it like a modern high power. I kind of learned my pistol shooting on a high power. And so it's just like a new techie version for me. It's a 15+1 magazine. And then it's ambidextrous as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's just very universal. It fits in my hip really well when I carry it. And it's not stabbing me in the side. So just overall, very comfortable gun to carry.
And it looks to me like it's a hammer-fired double-action, single-action gun, right?
Yes, sir.
How do you like the double-action trigger? That's always my biggest question.
I don't mind it. It always throws off my first shot just because it's a little bit heavier of a pull.
Yeah.
But I always carry with the hammer down. So I always have it in single action, but double action doesn't bother me at all.
You carry it in single, so you carry it cocked and locked.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you always carry it. So it's now wait a minute. This gun can also be single action, cocked and locked.
Yep.
Or it can be decocked in double action, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and out of the box, that's the way it is.
Yep, and it comes with 4 grips. So the one that it comes with fits my hand really well, but they have bigger and smaller versions, and so that makes the ergonomics, once again, pretty good for me.
So you're carrying it in single-action mode, so your trigger press is going to be the same trigger each time.
Yep.
But if you're carrying it in double-action, you were saying that your first shot kind of gets thrown off a little bit.
Yep, just because I'm just not used to it, so when I have that heavier trigger pull, it throws it off.
How is the double-action trigger pull on that?
In terms of,
I mean, is it smooth? Is it nice? Is it a little gritty? Do you feel some creep in it or what?
No, I think it's very smooth. Okay. Yeah, I have no complaints over it at all. I just never really shoot it in double action.
Yeah, it's always been my challenge with double action, even with my SIG Legion. You know, even that first shot, even if it's a nice, smooth double action press, that first one, and I think it's very important. I think the first shot it's probably the most important shot you're going to fire.
Yep.
Get out of the holster and fire the first shot. Normally, and I might get some pushback, but normally it's whoever makes that first good shot is normally the one that wins the fight, normally.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd agree with that.
And that's, you know, none of us hope to get in that situation. None of us, you know, long for the day. We should not long for the day that we get into a gunfight. But if that unfortunate event happens, or even if it's not a gunfight, but it's some reason you have to press the trigger to defend yourself, that first shot's got to count.
Exactly.
It's got to count. Now, there are classes, and there are some very good double action pistol shooters. Very good. It seems like it takes probably an out of ordinary amount of practice to get good with that. What do you think?
I think so too. I mean, that's why I always practice with single action. I'm a big believer in practice how you carry, and then always, like, I know some people who move their holsters around, like maybe they keep it in the front one day, they keep it in the back the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty firm believer. I keep my holster, whether it's inside or outside, always in the same position. Mm-hmm. And that's because if you ever are in that situation, the adrenaline is going to spike. And so the last thing I need is to think in my brain, oh, where do I have it today? You know, so that's why I also always practice within single action mode.
And that extra half a second where you ask yourself, let's see, where is my gun and which gun is it I got in my holster? That extra half a second might be the difference.
Exactly.
It's why I've always said I'm a big believer, and unless I see something that changes my mind, I'm a believer, same gun, same place every time.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and a lot of people talk about switching guns. Oh, you know, one week I carry my 1911, and then the next week I carry my double action, single action. Then the week after that, I carry my Glock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good idea to do that.
Yeah, and you practice so much. Like, I dry fire a lot in my basement. And you just, like, put yourself in this routine to where you're not even thinking about it. You know your hand movement, you know. My left hand's going to my chest. My right hand's going to my holster. I know exactly where that holster is. I can do it every single time.
That's the way I am, too. And I think there's nothing wrong with owning a bunch of different types of guns and going to the range and playing, you know, goofing off, or even going to competition matches and shooting different guns. I really admire people that are like five gun master level shooters. It means that five different guns, they've achieved master status. I'm impressed by that, but even those people, I would not recommend that they carry five different guns in a month, for example.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back. Once you're in that situation, everything you know is pretty much going out the window. You're going to rely on that adrenaline's going to be sky high. Not going to be able to think straight. And so you just got to have to rely on kind of your subconscious movements.
And I'm going to say probably one of the best things you could do is take a force-on-force class. I've taken one, and my goal for 2019 is to take another force-on-force class, maybe two of them. That will tell you right there a lot about your concealed carry habits, your ability to draw, your ability to get the first gun on first shot or two shots on target. And the other thing it'll tell you, here's what I learned. The most eye-opening experience of the force-on-force class is learning what type of gun is probably the best for me to use and where should I carry it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I learned that. It's the biggest reason why I moved to outside the waistband, strong side carry. Outside, I used to appendix carry all the time. Outside the waistband has proven for me to be the fastest, most efficient way for me to carry and shoot a carry gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why all my holsters that I carry, they're outside the waistband, with the exception of one. There's only one that I have that's inside the waistband. When I really, really want to hide something, I will carry a small little Glock 43 inside the waistband. But still, it's in the same place as I carry my larger pistols.
And what material do you use for your holsters?
I'm a Kydex fan.
Okay.
I'm a Kydex fan. Concealment Solutions is one of my other sponsors. I'm a big fan, but any good Kydex holster out there is what I recommend.
Okay. I use leather, but once again, that was ingrained in me by the old man neighbor. That's what he used. That's what I learned on. But I've thought about it. It seems that with Kydex, it can slide out a little bit easier. At least in my experience.
Not if it's very well built.
True. Yeah.
If it's well built with good clips or good belt loops, I've never had an issue with it sliding out. Now, go ahead.
What I meant by that was the gun can slide out, like, when you pull it out. Like, sometimes my gun will get stuck in the leather when I'm trying to draw it.
Yeah, once again, a good holster manufacturer, they build them so that you've got good retention.
Mm-hmm.
Good retention. I've literally with any of my Kydex Concealment Solutions holsters. I've literally fell to the ground. One time it was actually when I was out just goofing around at somebody's place out in the country, and I had my Glock 19, and I fell. I fell pretty hard. Thank God didn't hurt myself. The gun never came out. Never came out, because a well-built holster has good retention in it, but also lets you draw fast. So the K100, Alex, back to your carry gun. It's built in Slovakia. So what made you choose that? What was the primary thing besides hand fit?
I shot really well with it.
That's important.
I was just on point with it. We were shooting steel and not doing any heavy tactical shooting, but it was my first time kind of moving around, like walking and then running while shooting. And for whatever reason, I was just spot on with it.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Just.
And who cares where it's made, right? As long as you're good with it.
Yeah, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, my opinion too. I get a little irritated sometimes. People say, "Oh, I'd never buy that gun because it's made in such and such country." Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So if it's something that works for you and you can shoot well and you could possibly save your life with it, you're not going to use it just because it's made in a country you don't like.
Yeah. Well,
there are a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Glocks originally until recently, they were all made in Austria.
Yep.
You know, but look how many people carry a Glock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just, it was always kind of interesting to me why people would do that. And I've even had people say, like, for example, I'm also a big proponent of the M&Ps, you know.
Yep.
I've had people say, well, yeah, that gun's made up there in Massachusetts where they don't have good gun laws. So what?
Yeah.
So what? You know, I mean, if the gun works for you, it works for you. Carry on, is my opinion.
Yeah, the last thing I'm going to be thinking about when I draw my gun in a situation is where it was made.
Yeah. The last thing you're going to be thinking about is, oh, no, I have a gun made in Slovakia. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
This isn't any good. And you know what? The bad guy, he doesn't care where your gun was made either.
Nope, he doesn't.
He's not going to be saying, ha, look at this joker, Alex. He's got a gun made in Slovakia. He's not going to hurt me. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
He'll probably shoot me and then pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. And I imagine that gun, it's priced right, right?
So it's a little pricey. I remember back, It was 4 years ago when I bought it. When my dad bought it. And because I was 19 at the time, and we got an extra mag that was totaled to about $840, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So it's a little bit pricey.
$840, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, it was a hard decision because, like, you had the Glock 19, which was, you know, vastly cheaper and a universal, well-rounded gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just liked it enough to fork up the money.
Okay, well, hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. As long as it suits your needs and fits your needs, I like a gun that fits people's needs and that works well for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I don't like seeing is when people own and carry something because somebody else told them to own and carry that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like their uncle Fred that served back in the Korean War or whatever, and Uncle Fred said, "Yeah, you got to have this kind of gun." But Uncle Fred may not carry that every day, and it's up to you whether it works for you or not.
Exactly. Everyone's different. And so that was a big thing. Like, my neighbor wanted me to carry a Glock 19 or a 1911, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm going with this Grand Power. This thing's slick.
Yeah. I'll look into it. If I could get my hands on one, I'll look into that. Somebody else recommended that I test out a CZ-P07. Mm-hmm. And the CZ-P07, I actually had a chance to dry fire one of those in a gun store here in San Antonio. I'm kind of impressed with that.
Mm-hmm. I have not shot one, but I've heard about them being pretty popular in the carry world.
They are. So is the Beretta PX4. especially those that are kind of about the same price range as your Grandpower, and they've got some modifications by Ernie Langdon too. Mm-hmm. And those seem kind of cool and kind of a good compact size. Is that what the Grandpower is? Kind of a compact?
They have a compact version. I believe it's the P version. So they have like the P, the K's, and then X.
Okay.
And kind of the P's are the compact version. K100, I would say, is like that happy medium. And then the X is their like kind of gun-ho, I'm shooting competition.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Alex, back to ammo.com again. I wanted to ask. So what... I mean, you got some specials going on right now or something for the holidays?
So we always have, if you go to our website, there's a bar at the top that says on sale now. And the link for that is ammo.com/ammo on sale. And it's just our weekly special. And we produce that in our newsletter. We send it out every Friday. This week we sent out on Tuesday because of the holidays. So towards the holidays, a little bit more specials. So, but that's where they can check it out at, especially if you subscribe to our newsletter. It always ends up in your inbox Friday afternoon.
Yeah, and I see people can use, they can go to my landing page and find that same on sale now page.
Yep. So and what I would do if I was to do it, I would go to your landing page. I get the generate coupon code, and then I'd hop over to the deals page and use the coupon code on one of those. So you get almost like a 2-for-1.
Wait a minute. Go to my landing page, which is ammo.com/handgunworld, and then the generate coupon, where is that?
Well, they get a coupon code when they go to your landing page.
Okay.
And they'll get signed up for that email list as well.
Ah, I see. There it is. Yes. Okay.
And then they can go to the on sale now, our weekly specials.
Ah,
and then
yes,
they can still use that coupon code even if it's on sale.
I see that. Okay, good. And then, yeah, now I'm looking at a list of all the ammo that's on sale. Good prices. What else... What do you want to add? I mean, we're going to probably wrap this up pretty soon, but I think there's probably some stuff on your mind since you're with Ammo.com, you're kind of an industry insider. What do you see going on out there?
Well, so the biggest proponent, I'll talk about pricing when it comes to ammunition. And so a lot of people say, you know, why would I buy online when I can go to Walmart, pick up 50 rounds and not have to pay shipping? Right?
That's a good question. Yes.
And so I think it then depends on, do you value Walmart or do you value people in the space? Like, you know, we donate 1%. You know that we're actively fighting for the Second Amendment. Walmart doesn't care about it. You know, neither does... You see,
neither does
Dick's.
Academy Sports doesn't either.
Yeah, and like neither does Dick's. You know, they stopped selling the AR-15 and all that good stuff. So, In my opinion, I think it's just a matter of time until these other big companies get enough scrutiny and they stop. But we're not going to. We're firm in our beliefs. I go to the GRPC every year. I missed the NRA annual meetup.
So did I.
Last year. Yeah. But then I'm going to try and go to SHOT this year as well. We're in 2019, so.
I'm going to try to go to SHOT as well, and I'll probably see you either at SHOT or GRPC or maybe NRA, something like that.
Yep.
You brought up a good point. You know, why buy online and versus going to Walmart or Academy or Dick's and pick up a couple boxes? Here's my thought, and weigh in on this, Alex, if you think something different. I don't mind.
Yep.
If all you want is one box or two boxes of ammo, at least go to your local gun shop and support them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of supporting Walmart or Academy or Dick's, go to the local gun store.
Yeah. I agree.
Even if you pay the local gun store an extra couple dollars, I'm a big fan of supporting them.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. You got to speak with your money. Like, that's why capitalism was made, right? That's
the beauty of it. Exactly. But buying online, if you're going to buy in bulk, and I consider bulk 500 rounds or more.
Yep.
I don't think you can beat the deals. Try to go to Walmart and buy 1,000 rounds of ammo and see what the price is.
Yeah, and also, I wouldn't be surprised that this will be maybe some, I'm not sure how you would word it, maybe some skepticism on my part, but if you buy 1,000 rounds at Walmart, I'd be a little skeptical that they're not putting that in a database. You know, then they see, you know, the government sees how much you have and all that good stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Now, people are probably listening and they're probably thinking, okay, well, do you do that at ammo.com?
No. No, I'm not going to tell anyone that.
You might get, even if you go to Walmart or Academy and buy 1,000 rounds, you might get some strange looks at checkout, too.
Oh, very much so. I bet the cashier is going to be like, why does this person need 1,000 rounds? It's like, it's amazing how people don't understand that you can go through 1,000 rounds, 500 rounds pretty quickly, especially if you're actively training or just the keeping swords. Like, going back to that preparedness, you want to stock up on it. So
I went to a class one time and went through 815 rounds in 2 days at a weekend class.
Exactly. Prime example.
That left me less than 200 rounds, so I had to order another case a couple of days after I went to that class. But a lot of average people that buy a gun, they don't. Most of them don't even shoot 1,000 rounds in 4 or 5 years, unfortunately.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I will say also that a lot of people who like buying online, they live far away. Like, they're usually in the country somewhere. And it's 30 minutes to an hour to get to a Walmart or a gun shop. And then also, we ship same day if you order before 3 p.m. Eastern time. Okay. And if it's not that, it's next day. And so we usually get to your door in about 2 days.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we get some good feedback on the speed of us.
And I don't live in the country, but I still buy almost everything as far as my ammunition online.
Yeah, and it's online. One of those, like, our society as a whole is going more towards online shopping because it's easy, right? You open up your laptop. A lot of people are working on the computer all day anyway, and then they can just click a few buttons and they're good to go.
All right, so my preparedness mindset, my modern style survival mindset, that's going to kick in right here, right now, as I ask this next question and make this next comment. You know, and I don't like to get real political on my show, but I'm going to get a little bit political right now. Because of the recent election, we may see some proposals. Now, it might not necessarily mean they're going to get approved and make it through the legislature and signed by President Trump, but we may see some pretty heavy proposals to start restricting things like magazines and ammunition.
Yep.
And if that kind of stuff gains popularity, I think it would be a good idea right now to stock up on some ammo and mags. What do you think?
Yeah, we saw that with California in 2018, right? We have to ship to an FFL now for California residents.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
Yep. In 2018, we could no longer ship to resident homes. So it's something very much that, once again, why we are involved, because doing things along those lines can kill a business. And I think a way that government would like to tackle gun control would be doing these small laws to get gun manufacturers and ammunition manufacturers, kind of put them in a space to where they're no longer making as much money and they have to get out of the game.
State by state.
Yep.
That's the other thing. Too many people focus on what happened in the federal government election, but there are a lot of states recently, over the last few years, have been electing more anti-gun politicians.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Then we see crazy laws like you just talked about in California, where ammo now has to be shipped to an FFL.
Yep. Yep. And I think I won't get too political on you here either, but government is set up in a way that once it takes, it keeps taking. And once it grows, it keeps growing.
Yeah, so, that's the truth.
Yeah, so like you said, state by state, it starts in California. Now we're at Washington. Now we're at Oregon. And, you know, it just expands.
Yeah, yeah. So for all of you who are like me that still live in a relatively free state, get your ammo. Get your ammo and stock up. Ammo does not go bad for a long time.
Nope. And if actually you want to read about how to store it correctly, we have an article completely dedicated to that.
I figured you were going to say that. Now, ammunition stored at room temperature, it'll last a long time, won't it?
Yes, it will. The big things are the temperature changes, like the hot, the heat, and then as well as cool, and then keeping it dry. One kind of hack that I used was, you know, those dehydration little baggies that come in your beef jerky packets?
Yes.
Yeah, I will throw those in my ammo containers.
Oh.
Keep the moisture out of it.
So ammo is something that, you know, if you're worried about what might happen in the politics of your state and they might make it harder to get, buy it now, buy it in bulk. It stores for a long time. I mean, a real long time. I mean, I recently shot some ammo that was almost 10 years old. I wanted to get rid of it, and because I bought some new ammo, and it ran fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also if you look at the economics, like if laws are passed and it's making it harder to get ammo, that typically means that, you know, manufacturers, whether it's for ammo or for guns, the prices are going to raise. And so that's also a thing to keep in mind, because it's not necessarily a cheap hobby.
Nope,
as we both know.
It's not.
So,
yeah.
Think about that as well.
Many years ago, I gave up golf because I thought it was too expensive. Then I get into shooting, and that's just as expensive as golf. It may be even more expensive than golf.
Exactly.
So take advantage of bulk buying. It's more economical. It's smarter, because here's the other thing I found. If I have a lot of ammo, then I'm encouraged to go shoot more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've noticed about myself. If I got a lot of ammo sitting around here, I'm thinking, you know what? I got to go shoot this stuff.
Yep.
But if you only have three boxes of ammo in your house, you might not be as motivated to get out there and shoot.
Yeah, you conserve it.
Yeah. And I operate on a budget. I'm a huge fan of written budgets, staying out of debt and things. So I like to try to buy online in bulk whenever I can.
You're a Dave Ramsey fan, aren't you?
Oh, huge, huge.
Yep.
I've been following Dave's program since 2006. My wife and I got started. We got completely out of debt, except for the house, in about 3.5 years. And then we accumulated a little bit more debt and then got out of debt again for good in 2011.
Yeah, I remember my uncle, my mom and my aunt used to always make fun of my uncle and call him the envelope man, because he'd always take his money, put in cash, and then put it in his envelopes, direct it to where to go.
That's me. That's me. And then on my smartphone, I use Dave's Every Dollar Budget app, and it's phenomenal. Every single time I pull money out of my wallet or I use my debit card, I create the entry into Every Dollar.
Hmm.
And what's interesting is I have had more money at the end of every month by using the budget than I did when I did not use the budget. So a lot of people think, oh man, if I use a budget, I'm not going to be able to spend less. You know, I'm not going to be able to spend more money. You know what? That's not true. If you use the budget and you direct your money where to go, you actually get to spend more.
Yep. You get your priorities in line.
Well, and at the end of every month, you normally have extra money if you're following your budget. So then you say, hey, you know what? I got this extra little money here. How about if I just go spend it and have some fun with it? That's what's really cool.
Yep, very much. I'm looking into that app now, Every Dollar app.
Every Dollar, yeah. It's all one word, Every Dollar. I'm pretty sure even if you have an Android phone, it's available for Android as well.
Very cool.
It works. I don't work for Dave Ramsey. He's not a sponsor. I don't get one penny. But what I have got from his program is a change of life that it pays great dividends. And, You know, the Bible says if you're responsible with little, then you will become in charge of many. And, you know, God rewards people who are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got, at least I paraphrased that Bible verse. and I got the gist of it out there anyway. So, Alex, what else? I'll give you the last word. We're going to wrap it up. But what else do you want to share?
Just in general, just we would love to have all of your listeners come and take us on as a, I guess, a not a client, but as a retailer for their ammunition. If anybody wants to reach me, has any questions, if you have any scrutiny on what I said, you can email me, alex@ammo.com.
Yes, or if you have some really bad criticism, you can email it to wedontcare@gmail.com. So.
Perfect.
No, I'm just joking. Everybody knows that I am very much open to constructive criticism or corrections or some nice compliments and even some nice iTunes reviews. I'm open to that as well.
Yep, perfect. I am too.
I'm an open-minded person. I think you are too.
Yep, the quote you always say, your mind works best when it's like a parachute.
Your mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open.
There it is.
And it's so true. Alex Horseman, thanks for coming on. I very much appreciate that. And I want folks to know that links to almost everything we talked about will be in the show notes.
Beautiful. Thanks, Bob, for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. This has been great. Thanks.
Yep.
All right, many thanks to Alex. Good stuff there, and I appreciate his time. I appreciate all of the time that guests give me. I haven't been doing too many interviews lately. This was a real good one. I got another one planned that's probably going to be on the December 15th episode. As most of you know, my shows only come out on the 1st and the 15th of every month. That's a schedule that seems to work well for me, and you know, it's a schedule that seems to work very well for my listeners. They seem to appreciate it based on the feedback. Speaking of feedback, please give me an iTunes review. If you wouldn't mind, write a nice review, or actually give me an honest review. As I said in the interview, I'm open-minded. I like good, honest feedback. If you use iTunes or whatever podcast player that you use, I'm sure there's a way to give me a review. Please put that up there and tell people about this show. I grow mostly organically and mostly by word of mouth. You can catch me also on social media. I'm Handgun World Podcast on Facebook. I also have a personal Facebook page that you can follow. I'm Handgun World on Twitter. I'm Bob's Bullet Points on YouTube. If you search Bob's Bullet Points, you'll find the Handgun World Podcast YouTube channel. Ben and I do the Shooters Club podcast. By the way, that's going to have a new video by the 15th of December. That's going to have probably two new videos, for sure one, and probably two. So don't let your membership lapse, and if you're not signed up for the Shooters Club, only $8 a month or $75 a year. A link will be in the show notes. You can find that at shootersclubmembers.com. Concealment Solutions, they're one of my sponsors. And if you use the coupon code HandgunWorld, you get 10% discount when you place your order. So HandgunWorld at concealmentsolutions.com. I talked about their holsters in my interview with Alex from ammo.com. So we talked a little bit about preparedness in my interview. I just want to close up by putting in the modern survival life skills segment that I like to do here on this podcast. And I want to say this. I believe we have a very overinflated stock market right now. I am not a financial expert, and this is not financial advice. So please remember that. But I think we got very, very overinflated. And as you know, I'm 57 years old, so I am really thinking hard about retirement. I wish, folks, I wish I would have prepared more when I was in my 30s for retirement. I wish I wasn't so foolish. You heard in the interview I talked with Alex about the fact that my wife and I got heavily started on Dave Ramsey's program in 2006. I wish I would have started back when I was 30 years old. I would not be working full-time today if I would have started when I was 30 years old, because let's just look at the stock market, for example. The stock market since I was 30, remember now, I was 30 in 1991. Do a search of the stock market in 1991 compared to 2018. It'll shock you. You would have made some serious money if you, for example, bought mutual funds in 1991. The worth of those mutual funds here in 2018, that's what, 27 years? Oh, wow. I wish I would have done it. I am so upset with myself that I didn't do that. But I'm trying to make up for it. I'm being very aggressive with my investing. The reason... No, I shouldn't say I'm being very aggressive. That's not right. I'm being aggressive with my savings rate. My savings rate. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm getting this from Dave Ramsey. I think your savings rate is just as important as your rate of return on your investments. I'll say that again. Your savings rate, I think, is just as important as your rate of return. Think about it. You can't get a rate of return unless you save something, unless you invest something. I'm at the point now where I have completed baby step number 5 of Dave Ramsey's program. So I've got my son's college education now completely funded. It's enough. Now, if he spends it the right way, it's up to him. If he follows the principles that Dave teaches and that I teach him, he's going to come out of college debt-free. If he's foolish, which I hope he's not, then he might not do that. But that's all funded. And so if you look up Dave Ramsey's baby steps, I've completed number 5. So that means I have a fully funded emergency fund. I keep a year of expenses in the bank, 1 year in just a bank account where it's easily accessible. Money is going into my 401k. My 401k is kind of moderately invested. It's not aggressive, but it's not super conservative either. I figure I got about another 10 or 12 years. In 10 years, I'll be 67. In 12 years, I'll be 69. I've set a 10-year goal. Now, if you're a young person listening to this, if you're a 25, 30, 35, 40-year-old person listening to this, even if you can put away $50 a month, come on, save $50 a month, you'll be shocked what $50 a month will be worth when you're 60. You'll be amazed. You won't have to work. If you do it properly, get with somebody who knows what they're talking about, get with a good, reputable financial planner. And as your budget grows, as your income grows, maybe you increase it from 50 to 100 to 150, you'll be amazed. And don't go buy new cars. Stay away from new cars. Hey, I'm going to say this, and this is going to upset some people. I don't care. I wish I had all the money back on the 3 new cars I purchased in my life. In my life, I've purchased 3 new cars. At an average of about $465 a month in payments. That was my average car, for me, that was my average car payment. I think the average car payment in America is higher than $465 right now. I think it is. If I had paid cash for cars, or even if I had purchased a used car for $200 a month less, let's say I would have done that. And instead of $465, it would have been $265 or $300 payments. And if I'd have taken that extra $175 to $200 a month that I was saving on brand new car payments, not having brand new car payments, and if I had invested that, it would have been worth far more than the new car. I probably could buy 2 new cars cash today with the money that I would have made on those investments. So, and of course, I still won't go do that. I drive a paid-off 2006 Toyota 4Runner with 89,000 miles on it. I could buy a brand new car, a nice one. I could go buy a new 4Runner right now and pay cash. If I wanted to be foolish, that 12 months worth of expenses that I have saved up, if I wanted to be an idiot, I could take part of that 12 months of expenses and go buy a brand new 4Runner SR5. I think they're around 42 grand, something like that. I could pay cash for that right now. I'm not trying to brag, folks. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to be prideful. I'm a strong Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I read the Bible every day. The Bible says, you know, that pride is not good, that pride comes before a fall, that people should not boast. I'm not boasting. I'm not boasting. I'm just trying to tell you, because I've been responsible. I have that money, but I'm not going to be an idiot and go buy a brand new $42,000 truck. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep driving my paid-off 2006 4Runner for as long as I can possibly drive it, because I'm not spending the $465 a month average that I used to spend on car payments. That alone will help you retire early, folks, and not have to work for as long as I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to work till I'm 67 or 68 or 69 years old because I was too foolish when I was young. Please don't do that. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Even if you must drive a car and you can't afford to pay cash, don't buy a new one. Do your homework. Get a good deal on a good used one that'll save you $200 a month from the average monthly payment or whatever. Let's say you determine, hey, I can afford $475 a month for a car. Get a car that you pay $275 a month for and invest the other $200. You'll be thankful, trust me. When you're 57 like me, you'll say, you know, I'm glad Bob told me that. I'm glad Dave Ramsey's out there teaching people that. I'm glad that Bob told me that, because now I could go buy two new cars if I wanted to for cash. Or, you know what? I think I'm just going to quit working full-time at this age, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my life, maybe work part-time, whatever. Who knows? But I'll get there. I have some making up to do, but I'm going to get there. The other thing is, I'm debt-free except for my house payment. And now I can work on trying to pay my house off a little sooner. Because here's how I figure. When I decide to finally retire, and by the way, retirement to me, folks, retirement doesn't mean sitting around watching TV all day. That's not Bob Main. Bob Main cannot sit around and watch TV all day. I can't golf every day. And I really, as much as I'd like to, I can't go shooting every day. Retirement means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want. That's retirement to me. I can work wherever I choose to work. Not because I have to work there. Not because I desperately need the money. Because I choose to work there. That's where I'm going to work. And I'm going to keep working when I retire. So, again. But I'm going to work whenever I feel like it. And I'm going to work for whomever I feel like. Because I'll have the choice to do that. And why will I have the choice? Because it's my plan to not have any debt. It's my plan to even have my house either paid off or almost paid off. So I have a paid off house. Boy, is that going to be great, not having a house payment. Only taxes and upkeep and utilities. That's it. That's my plan. So that's retirement for me. And you guys have heard me say, really, I've been retired since I was about 26 years old, because since I was 26, I do a job that I love to do. I love selling. I'm in outside sales. I've been a salesperson since I was 20, actually a little bit less than 26 years old. So it's been fun. It's been a blast doing what I do. And up until a few years ago, I had to get out there and sell every month. Now, you know what? If I have a bad month in sales, no big deal. I'm not losing a lot of sleep because I got money put away. I'm okay. I'm not going to be in danger of losing my job if I have a couple of bad months. Now, I may get a phone call from my boss saying, hey, Bob, what's going on? And then usually I pick it up and, you know, I don't get, fortunately, I'm with a nice company like that that doesn't just boot me out the door because I had two bad months. If you're with someone like that, yeah, go find another job. The job market's good right now. You don't need to be treated that way. But the good thing is I choose to work for the company I work for. I don't have to work for the company I work for. I choose it. And to me, that is, I think that's ultimate freedom. When you can choose how to live your life the way you want to live it on your own terms. And that's what I'm going to say. That's how I'm going to finish up this show. That's the last thing that I want to leave you with here on this episode. Okay, so think about a lot of the stuff, and I would love to get feedback, folks. I really enjoy your emails. If you want to leave me a voicemail, 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. And that is it, folks. That's the end of this episode. So once again, thank you for listening. My name is Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe, read your Bible every day, and I'll talk to you next time. Goodbye. My God.